right, welcome everybody to another exciting episode of The Family Gamers. This is episode number...
It's 11.
11?
Yeah, these go up to 11.
That's awful. You were setting me up from that from the beginning.
No, right? I wasn't even. I thought of it just now.
All right, well, I am your host, Andrew, and I am here with my lovely and amazing wife and co-host.
Pour it on all the thicker, why don't you? I'm Anitra.
What? Pour some sugar on me? No?
No.
No. All right. Well, we're pretty much finished with bad rock and roll jokes, I think.
We hope.
Maybe, hopefully. But we are excited to be here for you. We have a really good and contextually appropriate episode for you this week. We are going to be talking about travel games.
Yeah, since it's November, Thanksgiving's coming up, at least for our American listeners. Yep. Sorry, Canadians, yours is already gone a couple of weeks ago.
See, I can't keep track of that stuff. I mean, I can't even remember when American holidays are, so...
Canadian Thanksgiving is American Columbus Day.
Okay.
That makes it easy.
Because they don't like Christopher Columbus?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
But since Thanksgiving is coming up in a couple of weeks... you might be traveling to see family for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Or for Christmas.
Oh, but the reason why we didn't do this closer to Thanksgiving is because we have some awesome guests lined up.
Yes.
So we have a guest who's going to be on the show maybe next week or the week after from Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Which is supremely awesome.
She's really cool.
She's a cool chick. So that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. But today we are going to talk about travel games. But first, we're going to talk about what we did this week.
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
Or no,
should
you
I
go first.
First? Okay. Well, this week, unsurprisingly, I played some more Batman Arkham City.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing I do, I also played some Rocket League. Then we went into the supremely exciting weekend, which is actually when we were guest hosts on the Mommy Gamers podcast.
Yeah, that was
fun. Which was a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, which was, I guess, yesterday?
Yeah.
I played the Our Son Fell Out of His Chair and Broke His Clavicle game.
Yeah, that's not a very fun game.
It's really not a fun game. There's
crying,
a lot of action.
And a lot of waiting.
And then a lot of waiting for your turn.
Yeah.
And that game is kind of stinky, and I have a feeling that that game's going to go on for about a month.
Yeah, or more.
Hopefully not more. I think he'll quit. He's a trooper. So if you are listening, if you could go to the Family Gamers Facebook page, which is facebook.com/...
Family Gamers AA.
And wish Asher a speedy recovery. That would be awesome. I'll show it to
him.
And I'm sure he would really appreciate that. So that's basically been it. And then tonight we played Machikoro with the kids, which was a lot of fun.
Yes, we played Machikoro.
Asher is kind of greedy and just likes to accumulate money and doesn't really understand the idea of spending money to make money. But it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
But it was still a good time. Mm-hmm. And you forgot to add that mixed in with that, we are still doing the kitchen remodel game.
Yeah, but we're barely doing that. I mean, we're almost done with the kitchen remodel game.
I'm hoping.
We're going to put before and after pictures of the kitchen on the Facebook page because we've been complaining about it for so long. So that is going to happen. So you guys aren't going to be like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. He's making stuff up or whatever.
I like that the kitchen is being remodeled. I just wish we were done. So,
It will be soon.
Soon.
All right. So what about you? What are you playing?
Let's see. Well, I mean, as you said, we played Machikoro as a family. I have been playing some classic iOS games lately. Been playing a lot of Fruit Ninja and a lot of Jetpack Joyride. And I know. Exciting. And a game called Chip Chain, which we first saw at PAX a couple of years ago, I think.
Chimp Chain?
Chip Chain. It looks like you're playing with poker chips that have numbers on them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
And it's sort of a different take on like the match three or more type of game.
Okay. I swore those off after Puzzle Quest.
I don't blame you.
That game is still going. It's still going strong.
I know.
It's unbelievable. That's a great game.
It's a good game, and they got good IP behind
good
it.
Good IP. That's probably the key to it. So that's pretty much it?
Not too exciting this week.
That's pretty boring.
Yeah, well, we're doing things in real life this week.
Oh, boy. All right. well, let's see. So, you know what? I forgot to mention I played the Best Buy customer service game.
Oh,
today.
Also, not so fun.
This is a public service announcement for anybody who's like actively interested in Fallout 4, which is coming out next week for all of the major consoles. I put like 120 hours into Fallout 3. I bought all of the DLC for it and blah, 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 blah.
You spent a lot of time.
I did, which, you know, it's fine. I got a lot of value for my money.
It's a good game.
Best Buy has an exclusive bundle on Fallout 4. And usually the game is $59.99, and then the season pass, which includes all the DLC automatically, is another $30. So that's $90. So Best Buy has this deal. It's like the gold bundle, or I don't know what they call it. And it's $84.99, so it's $5 less, and you get a pair of Vault Tech socks.
Yeah,
they've got the little Vault Boy bobblehead guy on the socks. I mean, look, the socks are whatever. But so if you're a video game player and you buy new games, you're doing yourself a great disservice if you don't have Gamer Club Unlocked from Best Buy, because it's $30. It's good for 2 years, so it's the same price as like GameStop's Power Up Rewards, but you get 20% off new games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody does that off new games.
But it's not like you go into the store and you buy any new game. It's like, for the first month that a game is out, you get 20% off, which almost defies logic. It's crazy.
That's
yeah. And if you pre-order something, they also send you a $10 gift certificate.
Holy moly.
So this bundle. So number one, I was already, you know, I had actually pre-ordered the regular version of it for, you know, $48, which is again crazy. You can't get it cheaper anywhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm paying more, then 20% off is a bigger discount.
Sure.
Right? So it was $84.99, and then I got 20% off of that, which is almost $20. So I'm paying like $65 for the game and all of the downloadable content and a cool pair of socks.
Yeah.
So
whereas everybody else is paying $60 for the game.
Just for the base game.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, in all seriousness, if Fallout 4 is on your radar, you kind of owe it to yourself to buy it from Best Buy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
sounds like it. Except their customer service is awful.
Well, you know, don't screw up your online order, apparently. Or let them screw it up for you. I couldn't get it shipped to the store, so I might not have it on release day.
Oh, no. So much for taking a half day and playing it all afternoon,
I'll
huh?
talk about that. So, you know, you might not be able to get it shipped to your store. I'm guessing because basically all those shipments are already in place and stuff like that. I don't know. But that is a deal, man. That is a really good deal. And I'm supremely looking forward to that. And then I was going through my Steam stuff and I saw that Transistor is on iOS now. Transistor is a game that's made by Supergiant Games. They also made Bastion.
Oh, okay.
And that game is awesome. It's really good. And I have it on Steam already, but I just saw that it was on iOS. But it really reminded me that I got to get back to that game. That game is awesome. It's so good. So I don't know if I'm going to have time to play all the games that I want to play before next week when Fallout comes out. I don't play anything else for the rest of my life. Yeah. So I have a funny feeling my games played update next week is going to be very digital.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, Fallout 4, for the most part, is not a game you're going to want to play in front of the kids.
Yeah, but neither are any of my other
games.
But
neither is like Batman. So
right.
Yeah.
So anyway, but anyway, so that's a little bit of looking into the future of what my gameplay is going to look like for the rest of 2015.
Well, the rest of 2015 isn't all that long.
I guess
9 weeks.
I guess. Oh, man. But you know what's going to happen a lot during the rest of 2015?
Traveling.
A lot of people are going to be traveling.
A lot of traveling.
So I want to make sure we spend a lot of time talking about traveling. So why don't we take a break? And when we come back, travel games, baby.
Okay. And we're back.
We are back, and we are here to travel with you.
Aw.
I'm full of them tonight.
You are.
Full of them.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
I do the snapping part because I can do that on key.
Hey, your rhythm's good.
Hey, thanks. So, okay. So we're going to talk about travel games, and we're going to do kind of two parts to this. Because right. when you think about traveling, there's two things. I mean, I guess it depends on your life mantra, right? It's about the journey, not the destination.
But in any case, there's really two kinds of travel games.
There's what we're calling transit games, which is, you know, games you would play in the car, things you'd play
on an airplane or even
planes,
on a
trains, automobiles, boat. Whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe boats, whatever. And then there's destination games. So games that you would play and things that you would bring with you to play wherever you are.
When you get there, yeah.
Right. And, you know, as we kind of talk about these, I think one of the things that is a common trait for transit games are either games where the pieces don't really move at all,
mm-hmm.
Or there's not a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
Or games where maybe some pieces move, but they don't need to stay in their state.
Yeah, they don't change, or they don't have to keep state.
Right. So think back over, I'll throw you a little curveball here. When you were a kid, what was your favorite game to play in the car?
Well,
I mean, you didn't have brothers and sisters, yeah. So you didn't have games to like play with them, but.
So, I really don't remember. I did most of my traveling with just me and my parents, and so it was more common that I would sit in the back with a book, or they would stick a like an audiobook on.
Mm-hmm. When we were in the car, a lot of the games that are really kind of in that transit focus are things like I Spy, or you know, something where you have to find like the next digit on a license plate, or mm-hmm. you know, those kinds of games. My mom, I guess this is less of a game and more of a memory thing, but somewhere along the line, she had memorized how many states started with each letter.
Oh,
and so she
wow.
would always be like, okay, there's, you know, three A's. What are they? Alaska, Arkansas, Alabama. There might be another one. I don't really remember. I just picked three, and those are the three that came to mind. Arizona's in there, so obviously it's not three. but, you know, she would do stuff like that, you know, and I don't. That one she clearly memorized because she asked that one a lot to the kids. But it became sort of a cooperative little, like, sort of brain exercise. But stuff like that is really, sure. really neat. Or those brain quest things, you know.
Yeah, I remember those.
So those kind of, you know, when you have a pilot and a co-pilot, so to speak, and then a bunch of kids in the back, those kinds of things become very, very good transit type games because it's all sort of in your brain and really nobody's
sure,
keeping
sure.
score. There was a game that Game Right Games made called Over Under where you would read off a fact and then, you know, people had to sort of discuss to come up with a number that they thought would apply to
that
fact. And then, the person who read off the fact would decide whether they thought that it was over or under the number that was collectively generated.
That was collectively, decided on.
And, you know, a game like that is really great because, you know, you're kind of writing down a score on a single piece of paper, but everything else is on cards and you're just kind of reading, you know, you think almost like Trivial Pursuit where you read a question and then the answer's on the back and it's like a box of cards and can be passed around really easily.
And you're not even necessarily doing it for score.
Yeah, you don't
especially,
necessarily
you're
have
just
to
kind
do
of
it
doing
for
it
score,
for fun. To
pass time. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
it's competitive, but without, you know, it doesn't have to be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's that kind of that group thing where really people are almost working together, I guess, to solve some things. But I'm, you know, when we started talking about this, I mentioned a game that you were like, man, that's a really, really great thought. And that was Scattergories.
Yeah.
Scattergories is a fantastic travel game because if you think about it, you've got a box and inside the box are little pencils. And portable hard surfaces on which to write.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to roll a die. It's a giant 20-sided die. But you roll it.
And then it doesn't matter again until the next round.
And then it doesn't really matter again.
Yeah.
Because you say what the letter is and then you're good to go. The timer, it's not an hourglass timer. It's a digital timer.
Yeah.
It's like an egg timer. So it doesn't need to be on. I mean, as long as it doesn't, you know, fall and like, you know, break or something. But Scattergories is actually a fantastic transit game. It's actually a game that you could keep in the car. You know.
Yeah.
that was one that I had come up with as a really, really good transit game. But you came up with a few that were excellent ideas, one of which I promptly went to Amazon.
Well, so I was thinking games where all the it might have a lot of pieces, but they're all pretty self-contained.
Right.
So I was thinking games like Battleship.
Mm-hmm. Battleship is a good game.
Yeah. Or Mastermind.
Oh, Mastermind.
Mastermind is a great
game.
That game. When you were mentioning about playing in the car before, I did have explicitly a travel version of Mastermind when I was a kid.
What's the deal with the travel version of Mastermind? Like, what do you have to change?
It was smaller, which was dumb.
Oh, okay. I mean, you don't have to change anything.
I know.
With Mastermind. Oh, man, that's a good one. That is... I kind of want to just get a copy of Mastermind.
Maybe we'll do that after this show. There's a game we saw at Boston Fig, which makes an excellent transit game, which is Slideways.
Yep.
Which is a tic-tac-toe, Connect 4 kind of game, but it's a self-contained couple mm-hmm. pieces of plastic.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. There's also something like story cubes. We've talked about Rory story cubes before. Mm-hmm. And again, you have to roll some dice. But, you know, once you've kind of rolled them, you don't really necessarily need to keep them around. You're just using them to trigger
ideas stories. To tell a story. Yeah, I suppose that's true.
One thing I did want to mention, you know, when we started talking about dice game was the idea of a dice tower. Do you know what a dice tower is?
Refresh my memory.
Okay, so we've talked about dice towers, you and I, a couple of times, because, you know, and for anybody who has kids and you're trying to play games with dice in them and your kids have this really annoying habit of throwing the dice off the table,
nobody does that.
Well, it's especially a problem for us because we have a little one. And, I mean, I think he's mostly past the put things in his mouth to explore them phase, but
mostly,
he still
but,
does
you
that
know,
kind of thing a little bit.
He could pick it up and run off with it.
Right. So they've come up with these things called dice towers. And basically what they are, they're these pillars, and they've got almost like baffles inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you just drop dice in the top, and they kind of bounce around inside the baffles, and they come out in a tray at the bottom. So they sort
Neat.
Of roll your dice for you.
Yeah.
But the thing is that if you're in an environment like a car,
that would make rolling dice a lot easier. Yeah.
You basically don't have a flat surface on which to roll dice.
Yeah.
If you can kind of hold a dice tower in place, it's even better than a dice tray or something like that. I know you can get dice towers that are sort of like felt lined inside to minimize the noise. But if you really want to get a cheap one, you can find them 3D printed for about $10 shipped.
Nice.
Which is not expensive. Yeah. So if you just Google dice towers, you'll find them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But that will go a long way towards taking a lot of games that are primarily dice-based, you know, something like a story cube. You could even do it with, like, Yahtzee or something
like
that.
Yeah, I was just thinking Yahtzee.
And that will really turn a lot of tabletop dice games.
Yeah.
Into something that's actually feasible to play in the car.
Well,
we've talked about zombie dice.
Zombie
as a game,
dice is a good one.
And this is a way
you're only ever rolling three dice at a time, so that's not too
it
tough.
Would absolutely,
there
work.
Are some other good Gamerite games that are dice based, like Quicks.
Mm-hmm.
And
like Dodge Dice is another Gamerite game. They're actually Gamerite's coming out with a game this year called Rolling America, which is a dice based game where you're sort of trying to make collections, and they've got this weird sort of like square looking map of the United States, and you've got to score points that way. The game's not even out yet, so I couldn't really tell you the exact details, but Gamerite's got a couple of games like that are heavily dice based. There's a travel version of Settlers of Catan that we have.
Yeah, that's okay.
Which works okay enough.
Yeah. It's certainly a lot better than trying to take Settlers of Catan with you and lay it out, you know, on an airplane.
Right. Well, that, I mean, that would never work. But, I think that there's a lot of, you know, travel editions of games, but really what travel edition of games means is it's a smaller, crappier version of the game that you probably don't want to play. So I don't really even want to get into those kinds of games too much because I feel like they're a little obnoxious.
Well, it really depends on the game. Like, Settlers of Catan, the travel edition is, like we said, it's okay.
Yeah, it's serviceable. I mean, I think that's what it is.
I mean, let's say there are some other games where you don't even need a travel edition. Like, do you remember Trouble?
Yeah, but I hate Trouble.
You hate. I don't blame you for hating it. How? But
I mean, let's be clear, it's no Candyland.
Yeah. But I think of Trouble and Sorry, and there's a whole bunch of games based on the same idea,
mm-hmm.
and travel versions of that can be okay. It really depends on if your family is the type where you would want to throw the board across the room to begin with. So maybe doing it in a confined space where you can't get away from the people you're playing with is not such a great idea.
Right.
How about some card games, though? There are a few card games that would make good transit games. I think, I'm starting from not so good to better. Something like War might be okay as a transit game, because you really, each person has a hand of cards and a pile of cards, and that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as you can keep the pile.
The difficulty is that you need a flat surface.
Yeah,
to play games like that, and I think that it's just a lot easier. You know, I'm really hung up on Scattergories because
it comes with those
portable hard surfaces, and that's just great.
Well, how about a game like Brave Rats? You only ever play one card at a time. You don't need a flat surface then.
Yeah, I guess.
I won this one. You won that one.
Yeah, I guess.
And then you play till the cards are basically gone. So
Brave Rats is it's almost like a cross between War and Love Letter.
Yeah,
I guess
it is.
Is sort of what I would call that game. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a legit one too. I mean, depending on how adventurous you are, you could play D&D in the car because
sure.
A lot of people play D&D with a tabletop hex grid or whatever.
But you don't need to.
You don't need to. You can be a lot more abstract about stuff like that. And really, all you need is your player handbook, which has a hardcover, and your character sheet, which you can write on using your hardcovered player handbook. So, I think that really it's just something that you got to kind of think about from multiple angles.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, you know, one thing that we started talking about before we began the show was that it's almost, these kinds of travel games where you're playing with a lot of other people or with any other people really have really fallen by the wayside because so many people have iPhones or iPods or, Nintendo 3DSs
or
Vitas or whatever.
Yeah, I forgot what the PlayStation was, but you said.
PlayStation Vita. You know, and it's almost funny because you think about people who get so excited about 3DS Street Passing, which is this social thing that you do with your 3DS. But you know, I mean, all those games are, a lot of those games are really sort of doing away with or making obsolete the idea of a travel game, which is social.
Sure. Although, if a whole bunch of people had 3DSs or something like that, there's also all kinds of like Mario Kart or other things where you're playing together on separate handheld devices.
Yeah. I think that's true. But a lot of the stuff that people are playing really, for the most part, is a solo deal.
Sure. It's usually solo games, but I'll tell you, social handheld gaming, I will take that in the car anytime over having a bunch of teenagers and young adults, each one with their own device.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody talking to anybody
else. 100% agree with you. We also do not have a multimedia entertainment system in our family car.
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we just haven't seen a need for one.
Right. So I think we've talked about the transit games a lot. Let's talk about destination games.
So destination games, I'm excited about this because I can't play games in the car anymore. Right. I can't read in the car. I can't do anything except look out at the road these days.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I get very motion sick. So I am much more into games that we can play when we get there. So, this opens up a whole new world. But we're going to focus on games that are compact to pack.
Right.
But not necessarily compact to play.
Sure. I mean, look, we talked a little bit last week about IOTA, which is a supremely small game, but it would be a terrible transit game.
Yes.
Because, you really have to lay that game out.
Well, because it's almost like Scrabble the tiles have shapes and things
on
them.
Right, but it packs like super tiny. I mean, I think that's a game that's going to be a travel staple for us.
Yeah.
Just because why not? It takes up no room.
Yeah. So. Card games in general are going to be great for destination games. Unless it's, what's that game you told me about that where the box is huge and it's just a handful of cards? Epic?
Splendor.
Don't do that one.
But Machikoro is the same way.
Yeah.
But that being said, and I'm glad you brought that up, when I took this mental leap, it was really an eye-opening experience for me. You do not need to bring the box to bring the game.
It sounds really
dumb and basic, but it actually is really remarkable when you think about it. I bought a deck box. It was a cardboard deck box. It was like $2.50. It probably is maybe not even a foot long, maybe 10 inches long. And I can put all of Machi Koro in it. I can put all of Mealborn in it. I can put a couple of decks of regular cards in it. I can put a game like Epic that you mentioned in there. I could put a game like Jaipur, which is already pretty small anyway, in a box like that. But now I've got 6 or 7 games in this relatively small box. The thing about Splendor is it's not even really so much a card game. There's just a bunch of pieces, but if you Google picture of Splendor box, you know, there's so many people who have pulled the insert out and you see that the components of the game take up like maybe an eighth of the box. And it's just one of those like super frustrating things. But a lot of people have really, and you can go on Reddit and find a lot of examples of this, people who have figured out ways to get like a duffel bag and get like 30, 40 games in a duffel bag.
Sure.
Just because of the way they're just a little bit more intelligent about packing them. And yeah, card games are a huge example.
Yeah. Well, card games are super packable.
You can save a ton of room by taking them out of the box. So
dice games, while usually they're packed a little better, dice games are also excellent destination games because they tend to pack down fairly small.
Mm-hmm.
Even a game that uses lots and lots of dice, like Tenzi, where each person has 10 dice.
Well, Tenzi is perfect because there's still no packing material.
It still packs down pretty small, right? Because it's just dice.
Yep. And there's not a lot of extra junk. There's another game which is a lot like dice games, which, and I know you love this game, and it's Pass the Pigs.
Oh, it's a great game. It's hilarious. Pass the Pigs
is awesome. But again, that's a game where the packing material, for some reason, is way big. Like, it's these two little tiny pigs and a pad of paper.
And, score sheets. That's it.
Yeah. So, Pass the Pigs, great game.
Awesome game.
My favorite times with Pass the Pigs were always the inappropriate ones.
I highly recommend Pass the Pigs for your Thanksgiving or Christmas family gathering, because you can play with a ton of people. Mm-hmm. The more really inappropriate... No skill. The better, really. It's totally kid safe.
Right.
But the pigs end up in hilarious positions.
You'll end up with Muppet level, like multi-level humor.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, oh, that's so funny because the pig's climbing on the other pig and all the old people are like,
yeah, exactly.
Not appropriate.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a good game. That is a fun game to play.
We should get that game.
Maybe.
Used to have it when I was younger.
But you know, I also really like games like Hanabi, which are, again, it's a card game. Mm. It really turns a lot of sort of those gaming tropes sort of on their head because it's a cooperative game where you can't see your cards.
I was going to say, I don't think we've ever talked about Hanabi on the podcast.
Hanabi is a great game where you are playing as a bunch of pyrotechnicians.
Yes.
And you are trying to work together to create the most beautiful fireworks show. And the shtick with the game is that you hold your cards face out so you cannot see them. And all of the other players are trying to give you hints, but they can't be like really, really direct hints.
Either color or number, but not both.
You can say, you know, you have X number of white cards and it is this one and this one and this one. But you can't say, hey, you've got a white 5. Don't throw it away.
Yeah.
And, you know, you burn resources to give clues. Then there's ways to get resources back. It's a really, really cool game, and it's awkward in all of the right ways.
Yeah. It makes you think really hard.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we kind of talk about these travel games, and especially as we talk about these destination games, one of the things that is a common thread is that most of the time we're going to see, I mean, especially in the context of November and December, we're going to see family.
Yeah.
And, so a lot of these games, like a Hanabi, or like even something like Scattergories or Mastermind or Story Cubes or whatever, a lot of these are really games that are fun, but they're super easy to pick up and really anybody could play them.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a key when you look at travel games, unless you're traveling with, you know, just you or just you and your spouse. You and your spouse and your kids and you're going to Disney and you know you're going to have downtime in the evenings and so you want to bring a game or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a place where a lot of the people that you're going to be around, or maybe people that you don't live with or don't spend a ton of time with, these really, really approachable games are super key when you start talking about traveling.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is one of the things that we absolutely love about Maze Racers.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not a super great travel game in the sense that it's, like, really, really hyper-compact, because you've got these two boards, but
it's fairly large, and there's a lot of pieces.
But there's no wasted space in that box.
Yes.
And that is a great game. It's a nice rectangular sort of box. And it's an incredible gift, and it's easy to wrap.
Yes. Oh, love gifts that are actually rectangular.
And, you know, it's not super expensive. You can pick it up on Amazon for like $35, which is a fantastic game. I mean, you could literally give this game to a family as a gift.
Yeah, you totally could.
But it doesn't even matter, because we're giving a copy away.
We are!
So you may remember a couple of weeks ago we had Andy Jeremiah, the creator of Maze Racers, on the show, and he was nice enough to donate to us a copy of Maze Racers to give away as a prize.
Yes.
And so we announced the contest last week, which means that there's only another
week left
to the contest, which is crazy. But if you would like to win a copy of Maze Racers, here's what you need to do.
You go to our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
Right at the top of our page, there is a post.
A pinned post. Cannot miss it.
That says, this is your contest post. Tell us a story about you and mazes. You know, whatever that story is, you like doing paper mazes, you got lost in a corn maze, you went to see the movie The Maze Runner. That joke never gets old.
It will get old. I mean, the movie's terrible.
But tell us something about mazes and you.
Oh, and we have some really, really awesome stories on here.
Yes.
My favorite one, there's a guy, and I actually looked him up, he lives in Australia. He went to a real life maze in New Zealand where the maze was made of like wooden fences and stuff. So we talked about, there's a corn maze near us.
Yeah.
There's a really well-known one near us. This place is called Wanaka's Wonderful World of Weirdness.
Whoa.
Which is a place I really want to go to. But they made this maze out of wooden fences, and they have like bridges and stuff that turn it into a 3D maze. It's crazy. And I went to this this website. It's puzzlingworld.co.nz, because it's New Zealand. And they've got one of those rooms with the floor painted weird, so if somebody's far away.
Oh.
And somebody's close up, but they look like they're the same size.
Yep.
So I'm sure that place is just super nuts.
Yeah.
and I'd love to go check something like that out. But we have a commenter on here who did in fact go to England. So we talked about the really cool like royal mazes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they checked out some of the stuff out there, which is super cool. We just want to hear your maze stories, whatever it is. If you comment on this post, you will be entered in for a chance to win Maze Racers.
What can they do if they don't like Facebook, Andrew?
Well, if you don't have a Facebook account, what you can do is you can go to our website,
thefamilygamers.com,
and if you go to the post for episode 10.
Has to be episode 10.
Episode 10, because that's when we announce the contest. If you go to thefamilygamers.com, go to the episode 10 post, and comment on that post. That'll be functionally equivalent to commenting on the post. So we'll count those in as well. But yeah, that game is totally righteous, and I guarantee you will get the game before Christmas, so you can play it and then decide that you want to go to Amazon and order like 10 copies with Amazon
Prime.
Give it to all your friends. It's a great game. It's basically a game where you have maybe a 10x12 board or so, and there's all these foam magnetic pieces. You create a maze with a defined start and a defined finish, and there's somebody else who's also creating a maze at the same time, and then you swap boards and you race to see who can finish the other person's maze faster.
And I love
super easy.
I mean, it's the details too that I love. I love that it's not actually a marble that you're racing. It's a little wooden ball,
right?
So it rolls just a little bit slower because it's not as heavy.
It's lighter, so it doesn't knock the magnetic pieces around.
Right, exactly.
But that game is fantastic. We loved it. It was the table for it was mobbed at Boston Fig.
And it gets played at our house all the time.
All the time. So if you'd like to win a copy of Maze Racers, make sure to get to the Facebook page.
And that's our show for tonight. Where can you find us online, Andrew?
Well, we mentioned Facebook, facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA. You can also find us on Twitter.
Twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA.
You can find us online, thefamilygamers.com. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us, andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
And anitra@thefamilygamers.com. I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to say it again. If you don't like the various kind of podcast subscription type stuff that's out there. I know.
If you're lazy, just go to thefamilygamers.com. There's a bunch of icons.
Yes.
So you can click on them for iTunes. You can click on them for Android. You can have it email the podcast
to
you.
Which is awesome.
I think it probably just emails you a link. I'm guessing it's not dumping a 40 meg file in your email.
No. Or you can listen to it right on the website.
Yep. You can stream it right there. There's tons of ways that you can listen to the show, so definitely check that out. If you do use the iTunes,
you should give us a review,
not just
a rating.
Politely beg you.
Reviews, please.
To leave us a review. They definitely help in getting us up in the like new and noteworthy section of iTunes, which really helps us out quite a bit. So if you are willing to leave us a review, you can even do it, I think, right from your iPod or your iPhone or something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's super, super easy to do that as well. So... yeah, so like we said before, coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a couple Christmas episodes. What we're going to try to do is separate it. We'll have a video game episode with some great stuff that's coming out the holiday season. And then we'll also have a board game episode if you don't really want to encourage all your nieces and nephews to spend December 26th playing lots and lots of video games, which I'm sure that, you know, all your brothers and sisters would love.
Yeah.
Do you know that that's the day that Xbox Live most commonly crashes is December 26th?
December 26th. Yeah. I am not surprised at all.
So those are going to be coming up. We're going to try to come up with some really cool stuff. I don't think we're going to have that much of a problem.
No.
So.
Although we are happy to take suggestions, questions, comments.
Definitely. Yeah, we've had a couple people reach out to us on the Facebook page to get some recommendations for maybe certain age ranges or, you know, certain situations. Maybe they have an older parent or something who they're trying to, you know, find something to keep their mind working. Maybe they have Alzheimer's or something
like that. And we are going to try to address some more of the different age ranges over the next couple of weeks as well.
Definitely. Yep, that's going to be a huge part of what we're shooting to do, is to really give you a solid list of games that you can at least consider for whomever it is you are buying games for.
Mm-hmm.
So, until next week,
play games with your kids.